Martin Luther King's I Had a Dream. And his dream shaped a day and a society. It gave us a picture of what life should be. But God has a plan. And his plan is greater than Martin Luther King's dream or anyone else's dream for that matter. The gospel is for the whole world, every nation, throughout history. So the question for us tonight is, am I an active partner? Am I an active partner in God's plan? Not a passive onlooker, not a fellow traveller, but committed. Jesus, no doubt, was implementing this plan, and on many occasions he made that clear. And he said on one occasion that, I have come that they may have life and life to the full. The apostles stated that plan. And we heard Steve read to us from Acts chapter 2 tonight about how Peter got up and declared God's plan and purpose. And in fact, we heard that 3,000 became Christians that day. Paul declared the reconciliation of the world in Christ. We pick this up in Ephesians 2 and 2 Corinthians 5. And the Apostle John tells us that every knee will bow and worship God and the Lamb. And we pick that up in Revelation 5. This is a great plan. But way back to Abraham, God promised this childless old man that he was going to have a great family. His descendants, get this, would be more numerous than the stars in heaven, we're told, or more numerous than the sands on the seashore. Am I an active partner in God's plan? I do not sign up lightly. Humanly speaking, this is an improbable plan. Abraham was just one man. Jesus was crucified. His disciples were uneducated and powerless. Paul, well, his churches were mainly small because they were in houses and they were despised as a sect in those days. John's seven churches really were tiny and amounted to maybe 700 people. I do not sign up lightly. Many will resist God's plan. Islam destroyed the Christian Middle East and North Africa by the 15th century. There were three great areas of Christianity in those days. The first one being modern-day Turkey in the Middle East and Afghanistan. The second one was North Africa. And the third one was Europe. 100 years later, only Europe remained in the 16th century. And it too was under great threat. The last remains of Christianity in the Middle East is being destroyed today in Iraq and Syria. Christianity came to Japan in the 16th century and grew incredibly in a short amount of time. And it would look like it was going to be the main faith of Japan until 80 years later, it was totally crushed by the Japanese emperor worship. Marxism attempted to destroy Christianity in the early part of the 20th century with Russia and China. Hitler just tried to destroy Christianity in the almost middle part of the 20th century. Modern day atheists attempt to destroy Christianity today in the 21st century. Why do people resist God's plan. They resist the plan because Jesus is Lord. They resist the authority of Jesus, and they want to be their own authority. Jesus shows us that we can be saved by grace, but they want to be saved by performance. God has a plan for all of history, and He invites us to be active partners in this plan. Yes, we've said that, humanly speaking, it's an improbable plan that was started by weak people, and many people resist it. Having said that, there are many people who are delighted to hear the message of God's love so much that Jesus came and died for them so that they could be made right with God. And it's said to be the treasure hidden in the field. It's said to be the pearl of great price. It can bring tears to a believer's eyes, knowing and understanding the Father's love for them. In fact, despite, from a human perspective, being an improbable plan, a plan that many resist, God is fulfilling His plan. If you go to Africa or China or India today, you'll see that God is working incredibly in those countries. And despite great opposition, millions of people are turning to Christ. Christianity, there's a lot of hype about this and about whether it's true or not, and it's usually driven by our Muslim friends. But Christianity is the fastest growing faith in the world. Last year, if we, you know, they say 30 million people made Jesus their Lord. 30 million. In contrast to that, 23 million new adherents to Islam, and this was mostly brought about by high birth rates. Nearly 32% of the world's people identify themselves as being Christians. Friends, that's nearly, I can't perceive this number, that is nearly 3 billion people. What was God's promise to Abraham? Numerous as the stars or as the sand on the seashore. That many. Now, I can't vouch for the understanding of those professed Christians. But the tiny mustard seed of Jesus has grown to be a gigantic tree, and that is the worldwide Christianity of 2014. So what do I make of this plan? God, yes, God is making this plan work. Despite the weak or the uneducated start that it had, despite the resistance, despite even our inability to do anything, God is doing it anyway. God, but we have the privilege to partner with Him, to share God's joy to one sinner who repents is incredible. Friends, let me say that God does not need you. God is not dependent upon you because He is God. Rather, we can get the privilege of sharing in this marvelous work of God. So, am I to be a partner? Am I to be a partner? Well, I don't sign up lightly. Not a passive onlooker, not even a fellow traveller, but committed committed. Peter, the unpromising, uneducated fisherman, got up and declared to thousands of people in Jerusalem that day, that passage we just read from Acts chapter 2. He declared this in verse 17. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. And he goes on to say, men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge. And you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. And he goes on to say in verse 36, therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the apostles, Brothers, what shall we do? The crowd on that Jerusalem day, friends, were cut to the heart because of Jesus. They saw their own sin. They felt the weight of God's judgment, and they saw the delight of God's saving plan for them. And they turned to God. They put their faith and trust in Jesus, and the Holy Spirit came and lived with them and was never taken from them. And as we read on in the book of Acts, we see that these people and many, many other people who joined them, they turned their lives over to God. Committed to God. Committed to God's people. Committed to serve and committed to bring the good news of Jesus to others. This year, under God, I believe that God's going to bless the people in this area. God's going to bless our congregation here on Sunday night. And why do I have this confidence? Because this term, for instance, we're going to be focusing on Jesus and making Jesus known to us and to our community. All this term, we'll be looking at Jesus brings. And this evening, specifically, we're going to be looking at, as we've started to, that we're being cut to the heart by Jesus. Actually, next Sunday night, we'll be looking at being cut to the heart and serving others. Thank you. Over the next 13 weeks, every Sunday night, we're going to be looking at this. It's going to be fresh. It's going to be something that's going to be food for you. And we're going to get our preachers here to talk about what Jesus brings. So let me outline what we'll be looking at this term. Jesus brings changed lives. Jesus brings hope. Jesus brings peace. Jesus brings joy. Jesus brings purpose. Jesus brings compassion. Jesus brings judgment. And on Good Friday, we're going to say, Jesus brings forgiveness. And Easter Day, we're going to say, Jesus brings life. And straight after Easter, we're going to say, Jesus sends. Not just our friends who are going to minister in Fijian prisons, but he sends us. He sends us out to serve. And we're here tonight. We're cut to the heart because of who Jesus is and what he has done for us. And just like the crowd at Jerusalem that day in the day of Pentecost, What are we doing? Well, I'm going to invite you tonight. I'm going to invite you to come and join with me and be committed. Be committed. I'm going to say five things about commitment tonight. Very quickly. Committed to Jesus. Committed to Jesus. And that looks like walking with the Lord daily. Beginning and ending the day with the Bible opened and praying to God. And at the end of the day the same. And, oh, any time between, really. But committed to walk with Jesus daily. Now, I know for many of us, we live an enormously hectic life. And we might watch too much TV or computers and we don't get much sleep and all those sorts of things. And our disciplines might be out here. I'm going to call you guys, particularly if you're the person who watches TV all night or your computer all night and don't have time to pray. There's no one here. Oh, that's good to hear. All right. I'm going to say to you, we must never let our lifestyle, never let our hectic lifestyle or pressures get in the way of our connectedness to God. Daily. So, my call to you tonight is to be committed. Rekindle your relationship with your God. Get back to God so that it is a dynamic relationship. The second thing that I ask you to be committed to is to grow in Christ. To grow in Christ. Now, there's many ways we can do that, but let me highlight a couple of ways. Our life groups are the main pastoral support in our church, where we're able to have friendship and prayer, where we have the Bible taught and explained in an easy way. If you're not in a life group, if you're not in a life group, friends, you're missing out. You're missing out on this small group experience. And by the way, the rest of us are missing out on the joy and blessing of you sharing your life with them. You're missing out. You are the worst because you're missing out on being connected and accountable and have prayer support and real deep friendships. Okay, so life groups, being the small is important. Friends, we want Sunday night church to grow. Treble this size would be a good start, all right? But as we grow larger, we've actually got to grow smaller at the same time. You see, you can't network 200 people easily in a room, but you can 8 people in a lounge room every week. So can I encourage you, for you to grow in Christ, you need to be connected with God's people in that unique way. And of course, this year, we're also, as a leadership in our church, we're emphasising training. And our leadership team will be involved in doing that. Each of them will be running a special group for training that will help those people be more effective and sharpen their skills to be more fruitful. The third way to be committed to serve. Be committed to serve. Now, there's two things here I want to pick up on in ministry. It's rule of thumb, most people get involved in ministry where they live. Not always, but there are a lot of parachurch organisations or other ministries that are outside of our local area that are legitimate and proper, and I'd encourage people to be involved in those things. But usually, we get involved 80% of folk in churches get involved in local ministries. And I want to encourage you to get into any strategic ministry that you're directed to or you find that you gravitate to. Any strategic ministry. And what does that look like? Well, a lot of you here tonight, it's fabulous what you do. You're just terrific in the way you nurture young people whether it be in kids' church on Sunday morning, whether it be scripture during the week, whether it be youth life on Friday night. Guys, you are inspirational here. And keep going with that ministry. Keep going. It's fantastic. And it's bearing fruit. But there's many other ministries. Like, you know, we are particularly blessed with a talented, but more importantly, a faithful and godly music team. And we're very talented with people who make this community on Sunday night work, with welcoming and suppers and, you know, logistics. Yeah, that's great. And if you're not doing anything, maybe God's directing you to do something there. Go and talk to someone and find out what's involved. Well, the other thing is being committed to serve. Actually, I'll just say this point on a beautiful passage in Romans 12. To live ethically and lovingly. Now, let me read it to you. It doesn't need explanation. It's one of those verses you'd put above your desk. Romans 12, verse 9. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honour one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervour serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Live ethically and lovingly. The fourth area is to be committed with God's people. Every Sunday night. This is our diet. What we have every Sunday night. Not just Slurpees and good suppers. But we hear the Bible read and explained. And the people who get up here do a marvellous job to make it clear for us. We are so blessed to have it. We hear God speak. We pray to Him as a community. We worship Him in our hearts and song in a local community. It's just terrific. Every Sunday night. And we encourage each other. We get to know each other. We pray for each other, I'm sure. We have the opportunity to worship God in our tithes and offerings. The writer of the book of Hebrews said this. Don't give up. Don't give up meeting together. Don't give up meeting together as the habit of some. All right? And I know you guys, you want to be faithful in this. Keep going. Keep going. If you see a friend or one of your brothers or sisters in your family or in the Lord who aren't regular, go and chase them up. That's a loving thing to do. Don't nag them. Well, Sam might nag them, but the rest of us won't. No, don't. Just lovingly go there and say, hey, come back. Keep going. If you're not here every week, you're probably not growing in your faith. I can bet, pretty sure you won't be. We need to come under the Word. We need to be part of God's community. We need to be growing in our relationship with God and His people. Friends, please keep coming. We need you. You need us. And God is honoured in our community as we do that. Well, the fifth area is be committed to reaching out to others in the name of Christ. And I will be speaking some length about this next week, but let me just give you an overview of this. Be ready. Be ready daily to speak and serve for the Lord. Take initiatives in small things. And we're going to have the opportunity this year to raise the resources to build a children and youth centre. That is a huge milestone in our community. And it'll only be through God that this happens. And we want God to work through you to raise up the finances to get that facility happening. Because it's actually holding back, holding us back in ministry. Some people love statistics. In our own backyard, we sort of talk about parishes, you know, sort of boundaries. In our own backyard of our church, there are over 85,000 people live here. 85,000. That's huge. And of that 85, say the average Anglican church in Sydney is 2% or 2.5%. 1% of 85,000, those of you good at maths could say straight up, oh, that's 850. 2% is 1,700 something. And 2.5% is 2,100 and something. That's just sort of the sort of starting point, if you like, where we get traction. So we might say, aren't we with our friends? This is great Sunday night church, and it is. But we want more people to come to the Lord. We want a fellowship with a greater ability so we can proclaim Jesus to our community in a greater measure. And friends, we've got a long way to go with God's help. But with God's help, with God's direction, we're up to it. We're up to it. In fact, if we're talking about, let me blow your mind a bit, if we're talking about 2,100 people should be in our community, in our church community, over the next 20 years, another 100,000 people are going to join us in our backyard. So even at the 2.5%, that's another 2,500 people. And that's sort of traction point. So you can see, let's not define our community by how many fit around this building. Right? Or how many chairs we've got. Let the Holy Spirit limit that. Not our facilities, not our mind, not our mindset, not our ability to connect with others. So I want to challenge you tonight. The harvest field is ginormous. So don't hold back. And God chooses a rough and tumble person like you and me to bring about his plan. We're just ordinary people to bring the good news of Jesus to our community. And in God's strength, we can do it. Friends, most of you are at a stage of life where you can exert under God an enormous influence amongst your friends. Enormous. All right? But just inviting them along, talking about, I went to church, but more importantly, obviously, talk about Jesus. That might be a lead-in. Get them to come to youth life. Get them to come to, you know, Sunday night church, where they can hear what you hear and grow in faith. So, there's nothing better to do. I know some of you are trying to figure out your career and what are you going to do and, you know, one day who are you going to hitch up with. But there's no better plan than to do God's work. No better. And so, friends, we've got to get on the right page here. Together, we can write the book of the Acts of God at Life Anglican Church. It happened to a very uneducated and rough and tumble group 2,000 years ago of 12 men. And it can happen with us as well. So my call for us tonight, please, friends, recommit. Recommit, or if you haven't done it before, commit. Commit yourselves to God. Commit yourselves to God and His plan. And then let us work together to do that great plan of God together. Let's pray. Lord, tonight we are cut to the heart about you, about your love and mercy to us in Jesus Christ. We see that you have a great plan, and we thank you, and that you've called us to take part in your plan. Thank you. Lord, thank you for the privilege to partner with you and your lovely people here. And so, Lord, we commit ourselves to you right now. Would you please use us? Would you please change us where we need to change? And as we write the page of your plan here in this congregation, change us and use us, and may fruit be seen. And we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thanks, Jeff. Well, we here at Life Anglican Church are committed to Jesus and are committed to God. He should be the centre of our lives and the centre of all we do. So please stand as we sing together.